Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there. And the wrong one died. And the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the Catastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and today we have a special guest. She starred as Elektra in the 2016 Broadway revival of Cats. Welcome, Lily Frohlich, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Starred, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, let's jump in. The first thing I'd like to hear is, before you signed on to play Elektra, what was your history with the musical Cats? Had you seen it? Had you acted in it as a kid? What was your backstory with the musical?
Not much. I would say I saw it as a kid. I saw the VHS, but I had, and maybe I saw a live production when I was a child at some point. Other than that, I mean, one time when I was young, probably 7-ish, my dance studio did the Jellicle, an excerpt from the opening, maybe the Jellicle Ball, like a weird mashup. And I was a random cat in that. But other than that, I hadn't seen it as an adult. I actually, before auditioning, really struggled watching the movie again. I could not get through the whole thing. So, I saw a high school production once.
That's been a common theme with your cast.
Really?
Okay. When did you see it? How old were you the first time? When you said you were a kid?
I bet you I was 5 or something. Maybe 6.
Wow. And yeah. Did it not scare you?
I'm having trouble remembering, honestly. It must have been a low-budge community kind of production. So I don't know if I was that scared. Okay. I think I liked the dancing.
I saw your production.
What did you think?
I was terrified. Absolutely terrified of the whole thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was, I saw kids everywhere and it kind of blew my mind that it was, that it starts with the whole green eyes and they're coming out and they jumped out from behind me and I was not prepared for that. And I just wasn't ready for the whole thing from start to finish.
Oh God. I mean, we weren't ready either. Every day, just not ready. Honestly, it was hard, but I guess it would be scary. As a kid, our production, yes, would have been very scary, especially even McCavity was really scary in our production, I feel like. So, but I just didn't have much of a history with the show, honestly, when I started it. I didn't know much at all.
Okay. So that really leads me to, I think, my first question, which is, what were you told about Elektra? And how did you roughly saw the movie, I guess, the 98 mm-hmm. movie. You had to watch it in multiple sittings to get through it. But what was the backstory you were supposed to follow? What were you given about the character?
Okay, well, from the beginning, I was basically told that Elektra is typically not in the show. She's typically cut from the show. She's an extra cat. And they weren't even sure if they were going to have her until, I guess, they made room for me or something. It was what it kind of felt like. I don't know. I was not in the casting process. But so from the beginning, it was let's just add this extra cat, basically. And I was just told that I was one of the youngest kittens. And the way we framed it was that the three young kittens, Pouncival, Elektra, and Syllabub, the rest of the cast were trying to kind of show us, lead us through the Jellicle Ball because we had never been before because we were so young, and they were kind of performing for us and obviously for Old Deuteronomy and to go to the Heaviside Lair. But, our kind of interpretation was that the kittens were always in the audience for these cats, I feel like to perform for and to show us the way, to show us how to be a Jellicle cat,
So I've done a little bit of somewhat of a research to try to figure out the backstory. And it seems like Elektra is one of the three sisters with Etcetera and Jemima. and that you're the most mature of those three sisters, but you're all the kittens. And so what I've been trying to figure out is just how do you interact? Like, what was told? Did you come up with an entire backstory for Elektra? Did you just have, you know, some bits and pieces to figure out how to generally handle yourself on stage?
Oh my God. We all had the most intense backstories. I think because, I mean, and I think anyone who's ever done Cats before, they knew, they didn't really, it seemed like they didn't enjoy our production much because we weren't, we didn't have time to focus on the traditional story or any of the kind of more traditional rituals that people that do the show have experienced. Like typically people practice what, you know, felinity for like a week or something. Like they like literally at the beginning of rehearsals, crawl around and like pretend to be cats and like get into that character for like a week. We did it for 3 hours.
Wow.
One day. That was the only time we had because, I mean, I know time is money on Broadway, and we had, Andy was really trying to recreate this show. We just didn't have a lot of time. So from the beginning, we didn't have a lot of backstory given to us. So we then took, yeah, like the tidbits of information and ran with it. I was basically only told that I was a kitten. Like that's kind of all I knew. What you just said to me, I was never told.
That's kind of scary that I know more than we're told ahead of time.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it wasn't ideal. That's for sure. I think people were doing their best. It was a very interesting circumstance with a lot of cooks in the kitchen. But yeah, so we created that Jenny Anidots was my mother and that Skimble Shanks was my dad. And that's kind of what we ran with, you know. And I was always such a kitten. I was too young, you know, for like love, I would say. But I think if I had to pick a partner, it would have been Pounceable, you know, because we were always together. He was literally my dance partner a lot of the time. So, and then, oh, yes, Syllabub slash, we called her Syllabub, but Jemima is what she's called in England. She was probably my best friend, but I didn't know she was my sister. So that's cool.
So what else? That's great, because I do want to get to the family tree here in a little bit. But what else did you like? You said you had a wild backstory. What else was part of that? Like, what did you think for what everyone should know about Elektra to help you portray it on stage?
I always said that I was the youngest kitten. Like I was going with that. I was the youngest cat on stage, and I just had this very wide-eyed innocence. I tried to. To go with that, like I always said I'd been born like 2 weeks ago. You know what I mean? Like fresh kitten.
Wow. Okay. So super young.
Yeah. Super young. I went with, yeah, that I was the youngest. And that gave me a lot to play with. I had so much fun. I mean, I got to really try and experience the show with fresh eyes every night because it was my first time at the ball. Whereas other cats have been to the ball before. I mean, it is a special ball and it's a specific Jellicle evening, but I was always like, no, this is my first time. I get to have this, you know, this fresh take on everything. And I was just always amazed at everything I was seeing. So I had a lot of fun with that narrative, with playing with that, you know, and just being amazed at the, because I didn't get to be in a lot of the more sensual and sexy, quote unquote, sexy cat numbers. I mean, I wasn't in McCavity. I wasn't in like any romantic part of the ball. So because I was so young and I just had to sit on the side and watch. So, but I really did watch. Like I really, and there were always adults protecting me and things like that and shielding me from the violence and from the scariness and things like that. So that's what I got to experience every night. That's what we made happen every night.
Wow. Okay. So that's really cool to hear because it's fun to hear how you portrayed the character, especially since there's so many different versions of how Elektra could be portrayed on stage. So you already answered a little bit of what I wanted to ask next, which is I've been trying to figure out the cat's family tree and it doesn't seem like there's any real source of truth. So you said kind of your family, was there any other that you remember where you knew like, okay, this is McCavity and Demeter for sure, or these two, or this is their parents. Like what do you remember from your backstories, from your cast that you could say, okay, this is how we played it?
Okay. And yes, keep in mind that like anyone else who's ever done Cats would wholeheartedly disagree with everything that I am going to say. You know, we made this up, like I said, because we weren't told much because of the lack of time. I'm trying to think. So yes, Skimble was my dad and Jenny was my mom. So they had a little, they were together. In ours, like Bomb Ballerina, you know, she had had her thing with McCavity, but she was over it and she was on the other side of this abusive relationship. And she was now, you know, at least by the Jellicle Ball in our story, she was with Rum Tum Tugger. She was with Tugger. Monkestrap is with Demeter in ours. Like, she gets tempted by McCavity, but Monkestrap and Demeter are a thing.
So that one I want to ask you about. It's
okay.
Is that why, I think that's why Monkestrap fights McCavity, is because McCavity's absolutely mad at Monkestrap for stealing his girl, not because of Old Deuteronomy.
Okay, I think it's a mixture, definitely a solid mixture, but I think that because Monkestrap and Demeter have become intimate in our production at that point, and then McCavity's like the bad ex-boyfriend that comes back and like, you know, that like drug person you're addicted to that you know you shouldn't be, like McCavity comes back and like hypnotizes her and physically takes her away, and so yes, Monkestrap has to come in and fight him for her and to get Old Dude back and like save the entire tribe, but yes, for his lady he does fight McCavity, absolutely.
What about Bustopher Jones and Gus, kind of the older guys that are in the play, like who are they with?
I would say that, well, Gus is, you know, that sweet older man that I feel like Jelly Lorum is, she's his caretaker. And I feel like she probably, they're not romantic or anything. But I think that like they're, she's his companion. And I think she's like, you know, she's probably not with anyone. She did not obtain a partner, so she feels good taking care of this older man whom she really admires, is what I would say about that. And maybe, I don't know, I think Gus probably like had his time, you know, he's the theater cat, so I mean, who knows what you know Gus got into. He probably had some lovers in his day. But now, yeah, he's alone and he's got this nice companion. And then as for Bustopher Jones, I mean, I think he just wants to eat. Like, I don't think he's with anybody, not anyone in our tribe. That's for sure.
Well, his song is about him going to strip clubs. So I think that's got to play into it, right?
That's true. I just think he's a rich fat cat. Maybe he pays for, he probably pays for lady cat strippers but he probably just doesn't have.
I know what you're going to say, yeah. But I'll tell you, this is not any more ridiculous than the plot line of the actual musical.
I know, you're right. Like, oh my God, it's just been like years, like I'm years removed from it. And I tell you, when we were in it, I probably could have had a very serious conversation about all this. I just haven't in a couple of years. So it is just funny to be saying this stuff, honestly.
It's gotta be fun to bring that back, that memory.
It is fun. It's so fun. It was such a special time. So it is really fun. yeah, Bustopher Jones getting that pussy, dare I say, you know?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Okay, so let's switch topics.
Is this PG?
No, it's not PG. It doesn't have to be PG, but let's switch topics.
Okay.
Who was your, if ignoring cast members, so just about cats, who was your favorite and least favorite cat in the show?
Ignoring cast members, just cats, yes. Favorite and least favorite. Okay. Oh, this is hard. I mean, I think maybe I would go with Demeter is probably my favorite, probably because I would have enjoyed a chance to play her, like, but I don't think that I was, because I understudied three other cats, but I didn't understudy her. And I think I, because I had such maybe like a youthful look about me, I wasn't quote unquote like mature enough, you know, for that. Mm-hmm. But I like her trajectory. I like, because she's got depth to her. Like she's connected to Grisabella. I think she feels for Grisabella the whole time, but she's always being told to not go there and to shut down all of those thoughts she's having and to just stay with the tribe, you know? And so I think she's got empathy that a lot of the other cats don't have early on. Yeah, I think she's really a cool cat. And my least favorite cat, I mean, my least favorite number, thus also my least favorite cat, was Bustopher Jones. I'm sorry to anyone out there who loves Bustopher Jones, but I mean, I think it's like very, you know, it's like, yes, this is an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, so obviously it's a very British show and it takes place in London and all of those things. But so I think that Bustopher is one of the most, you know, proper British characters, which we don't really have in our society. So I don't connect with Bustopher very much. And that music, that whole song, it's just, I mean, it's fluffy and it can be fun, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. Don't like that whole number, honestly.
So what would be, that's your least favorite song. What's your favorite song?
I've been asked this so many times recently of Hamilton and I haven't thought of Cats in so long. So Brain is going to think about, I almost said Skylar Sisters.
You can answer with Hamilton too.
Oh, I almost said Skylar Sisters because I've said that so many times recently because it's my fave. But, okay, Cats. I mean, Tugger is so fun. And in our version, it was quite different because Andy really got to play and do what he wanted to with that number, at least from what I could tell. So it was more rock and roll. It was more hip hop. It was really, I had a blast doing Tugger. And I mean, the ball, honestly, the ball is a magical thing. Maybe not eight times a week for a year and a half. Like it definitely starts to wear on you, but there's no other feeling. Like when like opening night or first preview or when something really, when it's like a very momentous day for some reason, you know, like my last show, doing the ball on your last show and everyone yells, go for it. Right before the big it is the most breathtaking experience, honestly. Like I have tears in my eyes just thinking about it. Cause it's not often as a dancer that you get to dance like that on stage anywhere.
I will tell you, when I saw the musical the first time, the only thing stuck in my head when I left was Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer.
Oh yeah.
And the more I've watched it, the more I get really stuck on McCavity's song.
Oh yeah.
Worst character in terms of like such a bad cat, but what an amazing song.
I know, it's a great song. I just wasn't in it. Like I said, I was I didn't get to be in that number. I came out at the very end and like posed with everyone, literally. And so I understudied Rumpelteazer and she got to be in it. So I did get to do it sometimes, but it's such a great song, but I think I resented it because I was like, well, I don't get to be a part of this thing. So I'm going to like disconnect from it a little bit. So I'm not jealous of everybody.
Exactly. So we're recording this during the quarantine of the COVID virus. So if you had to pick a cat to be quarantined with, Which character would you pick?
Mm.
I have an answer for what I think is the correct answer, by the way.
Oh, I want to hear it. I'm going to say one thing and then you're going to tell me yours and then I'll change my answer, I'm sure. But I mean, on a personal level, my best friend, Christine Cornish Smith, who I think you've chatted with already.
I have.
She's my best friend. We've been best friends forever. She was Bomb Ballerina. And I mean, if I had to quarantine, I think Bomb Ballerina is a cool cat. And she was also like, oh, I forgot this in the family tree. Bomb Ballerina was my big sister in our family tree, the one we made up. So yes, and I think that's also because she's my best friend. We just made that a thing. So I think I would choose to quarantine with Bomb Ballerina only if played by Christine Cornish Smith. Just kidding, actually, because I have a gajillion friends that understudied her, so.
I think the correct answer is Mr. Mistopheles.
Okay, why?
He's magical. He would do magic all day, the whole time, and keep you entertained.
Okay, that's a great answer. I know. I was thinking Bomb Ballerina because in that big sister, she's like so over it, but she'd be like, hey, bitch, like, let's paint our nails. Hey, bitch, let's have a martini, you know, that kind of thing. But in the grand scheme of things, you are correct. That would be cool to have Mr. Mistopheles here, keeping us entertained.
I definitely put more thought into this than I wanted to. Like, you know, with Buster Jones, he'd have the biggest house because he's rich, mm-hmm. but he'd eat all your food. So that wouldn't be as fun. It doesn't mm-hmm. seem super fun.
No.
Gus could tell you stories all day, which would be great.
Yes.
But I just feel like Tugger would be super interesting. But I feel like the magic would be, you couldn't pass that up.
That's true. And maybe he could just like, you know, magically present us a vaccine and make this all go away too.
Now, did you get to see the movie when it came out?
Oh yeah.
And what'd you think?
I did. I saw it on Christmas Eve day with my parents. I think that I probably felt the way about the movie, the way anyone who's ever done Cats in their lives thought about our revival. I finally understood. I had a lot of pride for the musical and I felt sad that things were so different. What I never understand about any musical that is turned into a movie, when it is changed so drastically, I never understand, because you're following, your audience is going to be, for the most part, the avid fans and followers of the show. So you're going to piss them off, you know? So I was sad a little bit. I didn't understand the need for some of those changes. And I also thought a lot of what Andy was trying to do in the film, like, you couldn't even see it because the shots were kind of strange. Like, it wasn't shot for dance, but it's a dance musical. It's like the most quintessential dance musical. And it's like the added song was weird. And like, I just don't understand why we must change things at all. Like, I understand if you can change something for the better, which then it's like, that's an opinion, but changing something so dramatically that is so beloved by so many, like, that's what I don't understand.
For sure. It's, you know, when you've got 40 plus years of the show succeeding in, for the most part, a similar fashion.
Yeah.
There was a lot of liberties taken in the movie.
Yeah. And I wasn't there and I don't know why they made those changes. I know that things, you know, under pressure, things have to change or, you know, but I do feel like maybe the person at the helm of that, like the director, like maybe he didn't have any sort of prior love for the show and maybe he didn't feel the need to like uphold any of the defining factors of the show. And I think that's sad a little bit, you know, I think it's a loss.
He was rewarded with a Razzie.
Right. Oh, well. And they spent so much money on it. Like it didn't make much money, obviously, right? So it didn't do well.
It's having a little bit of a life after with like the occult classic type of crowd, with a lot of people doing potentially illegal things and then watching it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, drugs.
Drugs.
So, okay.
I gotta say, that's the only way you can watch it.
I have not. That's what I felt sometimes about the musical production too. I thought I needed a few more drinks before
I
walked in and the lights went out.
Yeah.
But I do want to ask you my final question.
I told my friends.
Go ahead. Tell your story.
Oh no, I told my friends whenever they would come, I'd say, please drink something or smoke something, like whatever you need to do. Okay. That's what I would always tell them.
No one gave me that advice when I saw it. And I saw a matinee on Saturday and I walked in completely sober.
Oh no.
Not prepared.
I'm
for
so
anything.
Sorry. Really, I am.
But now I've got, you know, multiple episodes explaining the story. So it's, you know, it's taken a complete right turn for me.
Good.
With this musical.
Good, good, good.
So I want to ask my final question, but before I do that, I usually like to hear what you're up to. I think you mentioned it, but before obviously stuff started to shut down, mm-hmm. you were in Hamilton, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I've been in one of the tours for over 2 years now. I left Cats and went straight into Hamilton. And so I'm a swing and one of the dance captains.
Wow. That's mm-hmm. awesome.
Thank you.
And you said your favorite song was the Schuyler Sisters?
Yes. It's so fun.
Okay, now I want to ask my final question because this has been kind of the thesis for my podcast, which is I have said that Grisabella was the wrong choice to die at the end of the show and to ascend to the Heaviside Layer. Mm-hmm. And so what I want to ask you is, do you agree with me that she was wrong, or do you want to defend her? And if you don't want to defend her, who would you pick to ascend to the Heaviside Layer?
Now, can I get a reason for your thoughts? A brief reason?
I just think there are more worthy and better characters. Mm-hmm. I think we're rewarding a potentially drugged out former prostitute that is trying to work her way back to the story. And yes, she sings one of the best songs, but we're rewarding someone who had a very, very rough past. So there's a little redemption story, but I also think like there are a lot of other people that put up some really convincing performances mm-hmm. to have their shot at being ascending to the Heaviside Layer.
Yes. Okay. I agree with you. I think we learn a really good lesson from Grisabella, and I think we are assholes to Grisabella. And just because someone is a potential druggie that, you know, a person that is addicted to drugs and maybe is a prostitute doesn't mean we should obviously shun them or be mean to them. Like, they need love and they need support, and we learn that throughout the show. Now, if we could, I'd agree with you, and I don't think she should be sent to the Heaviside Layer. I think we should let her live and we should help nurse her to health and like bring her into our tribe. And like, she's got some good years left. I think it's really depressing that poor Gus, the theater cat, is like on death's doorstep and we make him wait. Like, he's not going to make it to the next Jellicle ball. You know what I mean? He's old. So yes, I think it's wrong. I think we should listen to Grisabella, let her belt out that tune, and we love and we forgive her. And then we somehow get Gus back in there, and we let that old ass cat go to heaven, the Heaviside Layer.
So that is the consensus with the majority of the fans, is that there's a big team Gus.
Mm-hmm.
I did ask Christopher Gurr this question, and
yes.
he said that he did not think in your performance Gus had a life left to live. So it was, if he would have ascended to the Heaviside Layer, he might not have returned and been reborn. It was his last life. And so that's why he wasn't picked. But I think he was just justifying the reason that he wasn't picked.
Yeah, but leave it to Christopher Gurr to find the most beautiful answer for that. I mean, honestly, that's great.
Exactly.
He's incredible. God, that's good.
Yeah, it almost bothers me how poetic that is, because it's most people are team Gus, and it's probably the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, I'm like, it's hard to argue against that.
It is.
I still think it should be Rum Tug Tugger and Mr. Mistopheles ascending together.
Oh, why?
I just think they are a clear romantic situation that is ignored throughout the play. And there's a lot of very interesting pictures that you can find on the internet of the two of them, deep dark cat's web.
Yeah.
And so I do think that would be, it's like Bert and Ernie, and I think they're ready to go together.
Oh, wow.
And that's that's who deserves to ascend together at the end. I mean, that's two of the best performances if we're judging it like a competition show, which is the way the movie actually even made it out to be.
Yeah.
But the way I interpret it, I think those were the two most worthy performances.
Okay. That's a very valid argument. I guess then I would just, you know, say to that, that maybe, I mean, is age ultimately a part of this? Because I feel like they're a little young, you know, but as you're saying, it's about ascending and dying and being reborn. So does age even matter? Like, I don't know.
I look at this like a America's Got Talent or X Factor because I saw the production with Leona Lewis.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how that was the first time I saw it, is I really just, it was like, oh, this is the X Factor. I'm watching it live on stage. And so that's kind of how I've been thinking about this musical.
Sure.
And so from that standpoint, if I'm a Simon Cowell type of old Deuteronomy, I'm picking those two together.
Okay. I appreciate that. I really do. I mean, if it's a search for talent, you're so right. You're so right. I mean, although Jenny the Dots can tap her face off. Okay. That's a really impressive tap moment.
That dance number weirds me out.
Okay. I mean, the taking off of your outer shell, your outer skin is always frightening, I would say. Especially in the movie. That was uncomfortable.
The movie version was an experience, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for spending the time with us. And I want to know how we can find you on social media.
Yes, I am on Instagram. It's at Lily Fro. That's at LiLiFRO. And then I am on the Facebook. It's just my name, Lily Frolic.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. And thanks for listening to this bonus episode with Lily Frolic on The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. To follow along, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Wrong Cat Died, or check out our website, TheWrongCatDied.com.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.